Recordings have started.
I think we're going to run this probably right out to lunch or something. We'll see where this... Yeah.
Thanks. So for those who were interested in having the legal counsel come in to address the memo from JJ come in, he's available at 4, and so we'll try to have a break before that so everybody can have a little fresh air, and we'll pick up that memo and maybe the recommendation 13 on the controller agreement at the same time, okay?
Thanks. Great update. Okay. All right, folks. before we dive back in, Gene and I just want to reflect for a second on some of the key points we were hearing. Not all, just some of the key ones, all right? And unfortunately, we have a situation with our flip charts, so you can't really see them, so I'll just have to read them. I don't know if you all know, it would cost $1,000 to take these two tables away, so we decided against that particular use of ICANN resources. So, yeah. We apologize that the flip charts are unreadable, but we're saving ICANN $1,000, so we figure that's a fair trade. That's a lot of wine. That's right. Okay. Great. So we wanted to just highlight three key items that we heard, right? Knowing that there's lots of other important details in that conversation as well. Three key ones, though, that are going to help us move towards consensus building, hopefully, is one, and this is straight from Ruth, that indeed access is possible without this purpose. Ruth said it very clearly. Third parties can request access using GDPR purposes or GDPR legal umbrella and requests. Okay? We know that's a fact. Okay? Where there is a difference of opinion in this room is whether a purpose like this one is needed in order for ICANN to develop and implement a more standardized access model. Right? So we've heard two strong opinions on that, at least two, that we can't move forward and implement this standardized access model unless we flag this as a purpose for processing data, right? And another opinion saying, what are you talking about? Of course you can move forward with your access conversation even if you don't have this as a purpose, okay? So that's a difference of opinion, and Ruth begged off on creating or weighing in on that particular debate right now. She may later, but right now she didn't weigh into that, okay? And the third point that was really important amongst everybody was that you all did want to talk about a standardized access model in phase two. You want to get there, okay? So among the many things that were said and the important points that were made about, you know, the wording of purpose two as it is right now and other things like that, these three things give us some vision about where we may be going here. And I want to say that on day two of our last in-person meeting before the final report, we are kind of at the end of the road about convincing each other that our particular viewpoints are the right ones. Okay? So when we have a difference of opinion in the room, we kind of are out of space for us as a group to keep trying to persuade each other to see it the way we see it. Okay, you see the implications of that? We may just have to move on as a group knowing we have differences of opinion. Okay? And we're going to have to find solutions that work and allow us to walk forward with those differences of opinion, right? And the way you do that is by trying to really understand what's most important to you and what's most important to the other party in the room or the other parties and solving for that, okay? So it would be a shame if we spend the next hour and a half, 2 hours trying to convince each other that, no, the way I see this is actually the right way to see it, because I don't think we're going to get too much further. We can persuade each other maybe a little bit, but we're not going to get too far. So that's my little spiel about encouraging you to think about solving for problems perhaps is our pathway rather than convincing each other at this stage because we may be at the end of the rope on that. Okay. So with Gina, we talked about there's a couple potential pathways forward given all this, right? There's a pathway forward of just leaving it in there, purpose two, right? That doesn't seem satisfactory given the public comments, but maybe it's in there. We can all live with it. We don't like it, but we can live with it. There's the option of refining purpose two to address concerns, take on concerns such as what Caboose has said about let's not subordinate the mission inside of this. Let's refine this. So maybe there's some refinement on purpose two that would actually try to address some of these concerns, right? A third option, Hadia made reference to it, which was, what if we included some other text in the final report that flagged what's really important to us, right? And then we need to figure out what is really important and what needs to go in that text. But it's going to be something along the lines of, we believe that access is blah, 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 and it's fundamentally important, and these are the folks that we already know are going to be part of that conversation, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? And a version of that that is potentially different or the same is that we take recommendation two and we beef it up, right, to get those messages in there, and that will be a sufficient substitute for taking out purpose two, right? It's worth noting that if you do that, if principle two goes away, if purpose two goes away, then there's those four original purposes that were in the temp spec that you all need to respond to in some way and say why these are all gone. Okay? So these are some of the thoughts that we had about pathways forward. And I don't know if, Gina, if I've missed something. Okay, great. And so when we open up this conversation, I would love to open it up thinking about how we walk forward, even in the face of our disagreements about key things such as do we need a purpose like this to make progress or to implement our standardized access model. Okay, so I'm not sure where our queue was before. I see Caboose, I see Chris. I see Mark. Gina, will you help me with order?
Why don't we go Caboose and then Alan, because their hands were up before break, I think, and then we'll come pick up Chris, Mark, and Hadia.
Great, okay? Thanks. If you can keep that queue, that would be great. Caboose, you want to go ahead?
Yes. You referred to three questions. I don't want to talk about question one nor question three. The question two is important. Whether access, which is now discussed, is or may be categorized as a purpose. This is, for me, the most important question that we have to reply. The question you may ask colleagues that, does anyone have any problem, even though it may not be categorically put in as a purpose, does anyone have any problem to put it as a purpose? Once this question is replied, then you start to see what would be the draft or language which should be put at that purpose. Question one and three, we don't reply. Question three is quite clear. Until the gating question is not answered, we could now go to the standardized model. That is quite clear. So may I ask you to concentrate on question two and asking, even though it may not be 100% a purpose, does anyone has any problem to put it as a purpose? If yes, then what would be the language of that purpose? Thank you.
So, let's just keep rolling here, and then we'll come back. And Alan.
Thank you. I've been one of the more fervent supporters of this purpose. I'm quite willing to ditch it as we have right now, but I have a problem. Recommendation two says we will consider an access model, not commit to building one. There has been a lot of fears expressed that we will not be able to develop an acceptable access model which does imply a fair amount of automation, unless ICANN can assume a significant amount of risk and responsibility. Some contract parties are not likely to be willing to accept someone else making the decisions for them if they bear the risk of errors in those decisions. I find it hard to understand how ICANN can assume some level of risk, and this goes back to the discussions of controllers, which we're not having this moment, without having a purpose directly associated with this application. I understand we can develop a policy, but can we really, within GDPR, assume some of the risk and liabilities of making the decisions unless we have a purpose associated with it? And it may well not be this purpose. It may be worded completely differently. But that's the part that I have a trouble putting together. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. Who's next on our list? Sorry. Chris, you're up.
Thank you. I, as Chris Despain, I have some suggested alternative wording for this purpose, which may help, and it's put forward purely in the spirit of trying to help. It isn't vetted, quote-unquote, or it has no one's imprimatur at this stage. I'm going to put it in the chat room right now, if I can get the right screen open on my computer. And I'll read it to you. It says, having determined through its bottom-up multi-stakeholder policy development process the purposes for which and the means through which registration data is made available to third parties, maintaining the security, stability, and resilience of the DNS in accordance with ICANN's mission by implementing that policy. So, in other words, it's a clear statement that it's got to go through a policy development process. Now, I've no doubt that that won't be acceptable to some people, but it changes the. It lifts it up a level, while still leaving a purpose in place, which I believe is necessary. But over back to you guys now. Thanks.
Sure. Thanks, Chris. I just want to make sure I understand. So can you just say one more word about that? Sorry, one more word about what you're trying to achieve.
Achieve a clear understanding, in case anybody doesn't understand it, that this is all subject to the bottom-up policy-making process, and that whilst it is in the bylaws, it's done through a policy-making process. It's not done through some kind of ad hoc mechanism by which someone decides it'd be a really clever idea to disperse this data to this person.
So you've created that caveat at the front end.
Correct.
Saying this requires a bottom-up policy-making process to activate this.
Correct. Now, you could argue, and Christina very quite rightly has put in the chat, that we're in danger here of creating a purpose to create a purpose, and I accept that. I don't for one moment suggest that it's not clunky, but I'm trying to find a way that we can come to some sort of understanding amongst those people who are prepared to countenance a purpose. Thanks.
Wonderful. Okay, great. Who's next? Mark, you're up.
Thank you. Mark Anderson for the transcript. I put in my card in sort of response to how you were characterizing our discussion. This is a hard discussion. It's a hard topic. But when we get out in the hallway and we talk, I don't think we're having huge disagreements, actually. We're trying very hard to figure out how to come up with solutions on these. It's just a hard, meaty topic, right? And so I was really responding to your characterization about trying to convince each other, that our way is right. That's not what this is about, I don't think. We're not arguing different ways. We're trying to find a solution to what really is a shared problem we're all here to solve. So my response is a little bit to how you're characterizing that. And I think, from my perspective, when we were in Barcelona, we came up with language a little bit by exhaustion. And I don't think, I think if we pulled the table, I don't think anybody would be particularly happy with that language that we have right now. And I think what you're hearing, from Chris and others, is that there's a spirit to work towards language that we can live with, that gets us what we all need. I think, how did Milton put it? There's a small step, we need to take. I think that's where we are. We're looking at trying to take steps that get us the language we need to get out of phase two in, or get out of phase one and into phase two, where we can start addressing these. And here, I want to look to my colleagues down on that end of the table, BCIPC, ALAC a little bit. Like, what language, what are the things, maybe the principles that you need to be able to take back to your constituencies, to sort of check that box and get us to phase two. I think there's a couple things that came out in the public comments that are why we're tripping over the current language there as a purpose. But I'd like to put you guys on the spot a little bit to hear a little bit about what is the language you need to have, or what are the boxes that you need checked to get us to that phase two discussion.
Thank you, Mark. Do one of you want to respond? Or if you take a minute, we'll go to Hadia. It looks like Emily put her card down, and then maybe we'll come over here for the response.
Hadia Mignot for the record. So certainly I agree with what Alan said with regard to the risks and liabilities. And with regard to this purpose, I don't know how can we move forward and say, let's delete it if we have ICANN.org saying, without this purpose, I cannot get involved in the implementation of any sort of standardized access system or model. So if we are sure that this is the case, that if we don't have this purpose, I will not be able to step in and be part of this access system, then I think we have no choice here. It's not a matter of opinion, it's a matter of facts. So if the fact is I cannot guarantee or will not support a standardized access system without this purpose, then we have no choice.
So,
thank you.
Can I just jump? Okay. So, Emily, you're next on the thread. And could you respond to, one of the things we were thinking on the break that would be helpful to hear directly from the registrars is we know that the registrars in the comments and in this morning said, you recommended to withdraw this purpose. So could you speak to, Hadia makes the point that ICANN is saying that they need the purpose to get to the policy. You may or may not agree with that, but could you speak to why it needs to be pulled out and where, and it looks like James wants to get in there too. It would be helpful for us to hear in addition to what you were going to say.
So first of all, thank you very much, for the summary of where we're at and the options. I think this is very helpful. We can all kind of stay here for the rest of the time trying to convince everybody else that we are correct, although we are correct, of course. but it's not really going to be the best use of these rare opportunities when we can all sit round the table together. So I wanted to support the, I thought, very constructive suggestion that Mark made about, can colleagues who really, really need and want this to be a purpose, can we work around, and I would also propose, can we start to think about, can we look around recommendation to strengthening that, getting it to where you need it to be? But also, do you want to acknowledge, Chris has made several interventions this morning, which is very unusual as a board liaison. And I think this is to try to address your question, Gina. From the point of view of registrars, collecting data in order to disclose it to third parties to support the stability and security of the internet is not really the reason why registrars are in business or are doing or handling this data. They are handling this data in order to make registrations, to perhaps hope to provide value-add services and all of, and establish a relationship with their customer, with our customers. this is why I think it's very helpful that Chris made the intervention that he did. We have been actually asking for several months now for ICANN's voice to be heard in this debate, particularly on this point, this very vexed question of lawful access. I don't hear around the table anybody saying there should be no lawful access to this data. And I really don't think we can say this too many times. We all want to be able to do it, but we want to do it lawfully. And the worry that the contracted parties, and particularly the registrars, who are going to be the people most asked to disclose this data, is to be able to do this in a way that is really robust and stands up to legal scrutiny. So I would really ask ICANN whether we can explore, if it needs to be a purpose for ICANN, then please let us try and work around that as, you know, getting language, making it very clear whose purpose it is. That places us into the position of processors or complying with a contractual obligation because it is a condition of our accreditation agreements or our registry agreements that we have to do this to fulfill ICANN's purpose. You know, this, I think, is a fruitful area of exploration. We have been missing this from the debate, and I hope that this comes at a point now where we can start to build on it constructively. We're deadlocked as a team. We need some other intervention to help us get home. And so that was really what I wanted to say on that. Thanks.
That's very helpful. James, why don't you weigh in on this? And I think part of this is exactly sort of what was just happening with Emily. It's like, let's really understand the pain we're trying to solve for, in addition to the legal arguments about it, but the pain really from a registrar standpoint, if this purpose is in here as written.
So, okay, thanks. James speaking, and hard to be as eloquent, or hard to follow someone that eloquent. And I'm also really bad at thanking people as part of my intervention, so let's just assume I did all of that, okay? And it was great, and thank you. So, Emily's got it exactly right. To answer Hadia's question directly, our heartburn and the reason we want this removed is because it includes these elements of third parties. And if Chris's intervention and the materials he sent to the list establish this as an ICANN purpose, okay. I understand there's still some discussion and debate around that, but really from my perspective, or maybe that's not a universal registrar view, but from my perspective, that kind of doesn't matter. If it's an ICANN perspective or it's not an ICANN perspective, it's the third party bit that causes heartburn. So one proposal, and I think to hear out the other folks is that they want some certainty out of this process that the door is not going to be closed, that these things aren't going to be carved on stone tablets. We would like certainty as well. We're trying to nail ICANN's foot to the floor here so they stop dancing around what they're going to do and what they're going to protect us from. So we're trying to get some certainty as well. But I think maybe a way forward, if I'm oversimplifying here, would be to strip down the problematic parts out of purpose two and shore up the uncertainty in recommendation two and make recommendation two a little stronger, make purpose two a little more narrow, and then maybe that can light our way home. Thanks.
Great. Love it. Okay. Excellent. So I know there was a I see some cards up here. I know there was a request to those who are most who have the greatest interest in seeing something like purpose two in there to hear what it is you really want and whether that can be achieved through something like what James said or something like what Emily said. So I think if you guys want to gel on that, there certainly is an interest to hear in the room from that, and it's not just necessarily this side of the table. It could be other places around this table as well. In the meantime, let's circle back over here, and I don't know who was first here, but let me – Milton and Mark?
Mark and then Milton.
Yeah.
It's Mark Anderson for the transcript. I just wanted to add, you know, when we get to phase two, like I've sort of assumed that we may have to change existing purposes or add new purposes when we get to phase two. But hearing the conversation around the table, I'm not sure everybody has that same assumption that I have. So, you know, that's just what I wanted to throw out here. you know, not covering it as a purpose now, or not, you know, not defining it as a purpose for access to data, you know, does not shut the door, in my view, or in my mind, at least, when we get to phase two. And certainly, that's a not insignificant conversation, and we may find the need to revisit and modify some of the purposes that we developed in phase one. So, just wanted to throw that out there if that makes a difference at all.
Thanks, Mark. Milton?
Yeah, just a quick addition. Milton Mueller here. You talked about us trying to relate to the pain of the registrars and registries, and we certainly have taken that into account. But I think what's constantly overlooked here is the pain or potential pain of the data subject, of the registered name holder. And so one of the reasons we object so strongly to purpose two is that it seems to create this blanket concept that ICANN is in the business of disclosing data about these registrants without any limitations. Now, one good thing about purpose two is that it said the data is already being collected, but that's precisely why we don't need purpose two. The data is there. It's all about how it gets disclosed. So we're still of the mind that having this purpose is inherently dangerous to the privacy interest, and that we're completely down with and willing to cooperate with, you know, reasonable, lawful disclosure methods. In fact, we would like to work on that, and we don't buy the idea that you can't have a contractually imposed system of disclosure without this purpose. We just have not heard a serious argument for that proposition.
So, Milton, can I just push back on you a little bit and have you respond more directly to the proposal we heard from Chris that ICANN.org feels the need to have this purpose?
ICANN.org has been anti-privacy rights of registrants from its inception. And the fact that Chris is openly advocating for that particular position here doesn't surprise me at all. But I haven't heard a legal or logical reason as to why, what is stopping ICANN from putting into a new contract a GDPR-compliant form of disclosure that is uniformly imposed on registrars. If he can answer that question, I would reconsider my position, but I haven't heard anything.
Great. And as we move forward, I know that Chris wants to answer that. I will reiterate, this is one of these areas where we may just have to agree to disagree. So I'm also interested, as we make these comments, right now we've had James put on the table, what if we narrow the existing purpose two a little bit and strengthen recommendation two? That's the kind of thing that would be interesting as we make our comments. How do we react to that, right? Emily's put on the table, well, what if we find some language in recommendation two or elsewhere that helps strengthen this up? I'd love to respond to that kind of stuff.
That's what I want to do.
Great. So, Chris, jump in there.
So I just want to deal with Milton's question first, and that is the answer to that question is yes, it is entirely possible to negotiate contractually with each registrar and each registry, but the only way that you can mandate it across every contract is if it's policy. Otherwise, it's a one-on-one negotiation with every registry and registrar. It has to be policy in order for it to become mandatable across the contract.
Correct. The question I was asking is, what stops ICANN from developing a policy that imposes it on registrars uniformly? That was my question.
That's what this is about, isn't it? That's what I thought we were doing. I mean, isn't the whole point?
Why do we need the purpose to do that?
We're going to get sidetracked again. I'll come back to that in a second. I wanted to deal with James and Emily's point. So first of all, just in respect to the wording, ignore the wording if it's problematic. I just wanted to try to throw something into the pot that shows that there is no question that this is all about policy and bottom up, and it is, you know, clear. I keep saying it's in ICANN's mission, third party access, etc. But that whole thing is couched in terms of it being a policy that's done through the bottom up multi stakeholder process. In respect to James's point, James, you say, and if it's okay with you, I think it would be useful just to be able to have at least a very brief dialogue on this. James, you say, from our reading, it implicitly extends ICANN, this is the purpose two reading, presumably the original wording that's up there, it implicitly extends ICANN's mission to include third parties. I'm not sure I quite understand what that means. My understanding is that what we're trying to do is to say that it is a purpose that I can pursuant to whatever the policy is, make sure that the data is supplied to third parties through legitimate purposes that are relevant to the policy. That are under the policy. So I'm not clear what the issue is with that particular wording when you say refers to third parties for you, because the whole point about it is supposed to be that I can mandate third parties have access. Have I misunderstood?
Can we jump back?
You said you wanted to talk about this thing. So.
Yeah. You're down. Okay, you guys are down. Perfect. James, can you respond real quickly to Chris?
I think. Chris, and we're going back to now our understanding of the language when we filed our comment, and the question that was asked is, why do registrars in particular want to see this removed? And I think that if the understanding is that it's ICANN's purpose to ensure that third parties have a right or have some reasonable access to registry and registrar data, then that, to me, means that you're taking the SSR component of ICANN's mission and extending that to beyond the SSR and into now the third-party interests of the data. Now, if we want to just say that ICANN wants to assume that data because it's ICANN's purpose to respond to those third parties, that's a different matter, and that inserts ICANN into that, as an intermediary into that. If you want to compel us to do all of this stuff via purposes and contracts, then by all means, please do that. That gives us a heck of a lot of cover that we don't have right now.
But isn't that what we're talking about? I'm confused. I thought that's what we were actually saying, in essence.
I don't think that's a certainty. No, I don't think that we're very clear that we're trying to talk about, we're talking about exactly that.
So what do you think we're talking about then?
Well, hang on a sec. I think there's something interesting here, which is to play around with language to get at what James is saying, which is that this is fundamentally, if it were fundamentally about ICANN, and ICANN being this intermediary, right? And that would give some cover for the registrars in a way that they don't feel like it in the current wording. Right? So that's a wording issue, but the idea is out there on the table, and we could play around with that potentially as one of the pathways forward. And this also speaks to one of the comments around how do we narrow to, and maybe that can address some of what we're hearing from Milton and the non-commercial folks about this opening up this total can of worms that you don't want to open up, right? So if there is a way to narrow and not open up, then all of a sudden we could be starting to address some of those concerns. Okay, let's go over to this. I know Margie's had her table up for a while, then Thomas and then Alan. Let's hear, and again, there was a specific request, right? Let's try to figure out what it is that we really need here so we can figure out where to slot it in terms of a refined purpose too, or add recommendation, whatever it is, right?
And if you can just make your suggestions as concrete as possible like we did yesterday, I know this is a really tough nut to crack, but I think that will help us advance where you can. Thanks.
This is Margie, and I haven't really been able to coordinate with my colleagues. But I just wanted, I think you asked earlier, you know, what was my reaction to James's suggestion, and I really appreciate James's suggestion. I'd like to see how we could, you know, I'm okay with narrowing purpose two and providing more clarity in the other recommendations. Thank you for making that suggestion. Let's see how we can do that.
Great. And could you speak, is it possible to speak a little bit more about the sort of why this is so important to include before we move into phase two? Like, what is the message that you need to send to your key constituencies in this phase one moment versus what needs going to happen in phase two?
Sure. I mean, I think a lot of it is what Kurt mentioned, the perception, if you will, that you've taken away an important purpose for, you know, cybersecurity and intellectual property and consumer protection. All of those are really what probably, you know, most of you on this side of the table are concerned about. and to be able to ensure that purpose two preserves some of that in some way. We're not wedded to a particular wording right now. That's why it's hard to answer the question. You know, what wording do you need exactly? I can't answer that question. But we do feel like if you take a look at the temp spec, for example, it's spelled out in the temp spec as a framework concept. And then, you know, we took a different approach in the initial report, and that's, you know, came out of the negotiations in Los Angeles. So something maybe closer to the temp spec, because then otherwise, it just from a perception standpoint, you know, it really looks like we've taken away something that these stakeholders thought that was part of the negotiations for the initial report.
Okay, great. Thomas, then Alan, then Stephanie, then Diane.
I think we're spending too much time on this. Obviously, the discussion that we're having now is just a cliffhanger until we get to the access discussion. So can't we just leave the language on this and on recommendation as it is and explain, you know, something along the lines of, given the public comment received, given the discussions inside the EPDP team, given the dependencies of the purpose two and recommendation two with the access discussion, pending legal advice, the EPDP team chose to park this discussion until the time when the access debate has been held.
So an option is basically putting brackets around all this and saying, this is what we've been doing, but we actually can't make an agreement on this yet until phase two, right? So, again, is that going to be a strong enough signal for those folks there? It's an interesting idea. We've got Alan, and then we'll work our way down here.
Thank you. The problem with what Thomas is suggesting is we're supposed to be giving something to the GNSO Council and the board to pass as policy to replace the temporary spec. So it's got to have a level of comfort that it will become policy at this point. We can't just shelve it because it does have to go into something that is formal. I strongly support what Emily and James said before. I think we need to look at why we have to do this to give the contracted parties a level of comfort. Okay. Now, what I think I'm hearing is Chris recited what's in the mission, and we all know it. But we also all know because of ICANN's limited scope, we cannot do all of that. It's fine to say we have to ensure the stability and security of the Internet, but we don't have all the tools or the people to do it. And I viewed this purpose as giving ICANN the mandate to essentially farm out some of that work to others. And indeed, via the contracts with contracted parties, because they're the ones who may actually have to send the data across the line. So I view this as an ICANN purpose to ensure that it can meet its mission, given that we are relying on outside sources to do a lot of the work. Okay. And I think that's the key to making it an ICANN purpose. How to word it, I'm not going to pretend I understand.
Okay, great. Thanks, Christina, and then Stephanie.
Thanks, Christina Rosette. I just wanted to kind of, for those of you who might not be following the chat, I just wanted to flag something that I put in the chat that I really think is part of the problem here. And that is, up until now, this working group has been trying to figure out what the ICANN purpose is that we may need or that ICANN.org may need in order to have a requirement that under certain circumstances, registry operators and registrars are compelled to disclose personal data. What we haven't had, though, and I think we started to see the first glimmer of that with Chris's intervention earlier, we haven't had an articulation from ICANN.org as the party to our contracts as to what they believe the purpose needs to be and how it needs to be articulated. And I really think that unless and until we get that, I don't know that we're going to be able to make really meaningful progress in making any changes to Purpose 2 in a way that we can reach consensus on. Now, to be perfectly clear, I am not saying that we will rubber stamp whatever we get, but up until this point, we're just guessing, and I don't think that's productive. So I guess my ask would be, you know, Chris, if it turns out that we could get a formal articulation of what you said earlier, and, you know, as a formal ICANN org position, I think that would be extraordinarily useful to us, and bonus points if it's actual proposed Purpose 2 wording.
All right. Stephanie, and then Caboose.
Thank you. Stephanie Perrin for the record. I just wanted to interject in here that the NCSG has no objections to unraveling the ball of worms or whatever you want to call it in terms of that larger policy issue. The point is we don't have time. And if we get back into the dissection of the various parties and their purposes for access, we get back into these use case scenarios where people were claiming that we have to state academic research as a purpose for the collection, use, and disclosure of information under the GDPR, or we won't be able to disclose it to academic researchers, which I would suggest to you is nonsense. So I would like to park this for now, although, like Christina, I'm real curious as to when ICANN.org is going to pop out of the box with a clear statement of how much liability and control it wants to take on in these matters, because right now we don't really know where they stand. The other point I wanted to raise is that in this whole endeavor on the EPDP, the organization has been saying that we want to maintain the who is to the greatest extent possible, and our stakeholder group does not have that as a goal. We want to protect end user rights for the first time in 20 years. Thank you.
So I know, Diane, you've had your thing up for a second. If I can just quick swing to Caboose, Ruth, and then I'll come right over you to Diane. Is that okay?
Yes, I think it's too early to park the question. We can do that at any time when the debate is totally exhausted. We are not reached that point yet. I see there is a possibility. No, we are. Please. Chris, when microphone given to you, you can talk. But please do not intervene when somebody else is talking. I respectfully request you, kindly distinguished vice chair of the board, please kindly allow the people to talk. I am not in favor of parking. Still, we could try. If everything is exhausted, then that option is always available. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. Yeah. Ruth.
Okay. Three points, or one quotation and 2 points. Just going back to what GDPR requires. GDPR states that personal data has to be collected for specified, explicit, and legitimate purposes, and not further processed in a manner that's incompatible with those purposes. So I think it's helpful just to bear that in mind as the background to the discussion. The first point, as far as registrars or registries are concerned, one alternative form of wording that might be helpful would be to include wording saying that disclosure in appropriate circumstances, and we'd need words around that, is not incompatible with the purposes for which the data was obtained. That would be one suggestion. So there will be no need for an additional purpose as far as the registrars or registries are concerned, and there's an acknowledgement that there will be disclosure in appropriate circumstances. The second point, though, is that if the concern is not about ensuring that disclosure can take place, but being able to require disclosure, then I think that's a different point. It's an important point, but it's a different point. And there's been discussion about ICANN's role and responsibility versus the role and responsibility of registrars and registries and others, which is a connected topic to which I'm certainly not going to give an answer now. But it does impact on this, because if what we're saying is that this is ICANN's purpose, then that purpose does have to be articulated, because unlike the registrar or the registry, especially the registrar, where you're saying that your primary purpose is to actually fulfill the contract with the registered name holder, what is ICANN's purpose if not to actually enforce this? So I think this links to the relative role of the parties. And if this is to be an ICANN purpose, if you like, then there is no other purpose that can justify it unless this is spelled out.
Thanks.
Yeah. Based on that information.
Let's hold on one second. Let's go to Diane and Hadia, who've been waiting, and then let's take a quick pause.
Thank you, and thank you, Ruth. I think that that's the segue that we've all been waiting for, and I've been trying to articulate that this lays the needed foundation from a policy and legal standpoint for ICANN to be able to effectuate its purpose and specificity to allow the contracted party house to flow that information. And it's necessary under GDPR to specifically identify it to make it the disclosure compatible with the purpose described. And it seems to me that we're at a juncture that we've all worked so hard to get to this point, and we've put so much time into this, that to park it would be a grave disappointment. And we've narrowed it down from four purposes to one, and what message would that send to a multi-stakeholder group? So since we all have this time that we've put in, we should take that additional leap forward, and perhaps we could work and meet with Chris and the IP, ALAC and the BC could have some time to come up with some wording that we could then present to the group either early tomorrow morning or, you know, certainly as soon as possible.
Thanks. Great. Hadia?
Hadia Mnyawi for the record. So thank you, Diana, for that. But I was actually going to suggest that, you know, after the contracted parties heard from ICANN and heard about their position on the matter and that this is an ICANN purpose and that they take responsibility for whatever this purpose says, I was wondering that instead of waiting for ICANN to provide something in writing and then based on that we articulate the purpose, if Christina and James would like to propose a wording or language for purpose two based on what they heard today from ICANN, and we start from there.
All right. Folks, always seems like there's a little bit of a chicken-egg problem with these things. Like, oh, we need this information to make more progress, but we need to make more progress. So I feel like we're here. We should take a stab, right? There's some very specific ideas on the table. Not everybody's thrilled about them, but they're there, right? Some ideas about narrowing purpose two and showing it more clearly as ICANN, while at the same time, and ICANN purpose, while at the same time not opening up, not writing it in a way that makes people feel like you're opening up this whole other set of, you know, purposes around ICANN and disclosure, and at the same time having recommendation two be a little bit more robust in this group's commitment to working on the standardized access model, or whatever you're going to call it, eventually going forward. Okay? To do that, we can't be sitting here in this group of 20 people and do it. And I'm going to try something where sometimes we've gotten pushback on this, but I don't want to go send off teams to go negotiate some new agreement. I want to appeal to this third part on our mantras, which is the creativity part. Okay? And I'm interested in putting up some simultaneous creative teams that mix up where James sits with Margie and somebody else, right, and Stephanie, who knows, right? And three or four people go and sit down and see what it looks like
to play around with language, right? And we're going to do that and have some simultaneous conversation. Nobody's agreeing to it. Nobody's negotiating. Nobody's saying, oh, my stakeholder group will definitely live with this. Or what you're doing is you're just throwing some stuff out and being creative and trying to solve what we've actually been able to clarify this morning. We've clarified a lot of what's really going on. You know, why folks are so concerned here about Principle 2, or Purpose 2, excuse me, in the non-commercial crowd, right? We get it a little bit more what's going on here. We get what's going on in these different areas more. And Chris has provided us more vision about sort of where the board is. So what I'm going to suggest is that in groups of no more than four people, you go find some place and you play around with the wording and we give it a go. And don't do it just in your groups. The idea is to go across. And you're not committing. You're not saying my group's okay with this. You're playing around with words and then we're going to look at it and see what we got. Okay? Milton?
Can I just add on to the direction?
Great, thanks.
Just a quick intervention to say that in your summary of the ideas on the table, you neglected to mention Ruth's comment that if the other purposes said that there was no restraint on disclosure, that you could possibly do away with Purpose 2.
Okay. Thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Okay, yeah. So I think just to be a little bit more specific, if you're crafting the Purpose 2, you craft it as an I can purpose. And then I just wrote up what I think I heard Ruth suggest as language if you were to speak to the registrar's concerns around disclosure in appropriate circumstances is not incompatible with ways the data was obtained, would need to be part of that purpose. I just wrote it right there so that you can have that as part of the mix.
Okay. This, folks, I'm not going to be that directive on this unless you absolutely need me to be, but I strongly encourage you to physically get up from the table, find someone in another stakeholder group, and go down and see what it feels like to try to draft some things, right? I'm not going to say what that drafting is going to look like. I'm appealing to your own ability and creativity, and this is going to be a little bit painful. It's not going to be a usual process, but I think this is the only way to start generating some potential solutions. Chris's idea in the chat is one of those solutions, so definitely look at that in terms of the different language on Purpose 2, okay? But let's put...
We have breakout rooms, too.
We have two breakout rooms here.
I think on the other side of that...
Wellington has a breakout room. We've got the little tables out here. We've got some space in here. Folks, let's put 30 minutes on this, a 30-minute timer, and we'll see what happens, okay? So, folks, you don't need to reach agreement in your stakeholder groups before you get up from the table. All you need to do is be willing to play around with some language. Nobody is committing to what you come up to, with what you come up with, excuse me. Nobody is committed to it. By putting some words on the table, you are just throwing stuff out there to see what might work. Then we're going to have plenty of time in your stakeholder groups and in your constituent groups to really think about it and then start to more of a process of committing. Okay? So unless I see a total breakdown and nobody's doing this, I'm going to say I invite you to literally stand up, find some folks who you want to sit with, and sit down and see if you might play around with some language about a new purpose to, a new recommendation to, and or something totally different that would allow us to deal with these issues. Okay? So, let's see what happens. I invite you to stand up, literally, and find somebody.
Can we get everybody in the room? What we're going to do, it's going to be really hard, but we're going to hear the options that were developed, and then we have to go to lunch. So David and I are talking. We'll see if we can even get printed the options, and you can look at them and discuss them at lunch. But we want to hear what each group's creative ideas are. We're just going to put it out there so we hear the good thinking, and then we'll go from there. David, is there anybody? Where's Stephanie? Can they please come? Claudia, Alan, Diane. Okay, Mark, is Mark here? There's Mark. Alan, Mark. Okay, so the first one is option A. Was that, can somebody from the group in the other room just talk through option A and just give, you know, say it out loud and then give us just a brief rationale, and then we'll go to option B. Okay, Alan, go ahead.
All right, we spent a lot of time talking about why we were doing this and how we could do this, and we at the very end we tried putting some words together. So option A is the one I ended up drafting. Option B was from Mark. I think option B wasn't quite finished yet, but I'll let him explain that. Is there any way to make that larger? Hold on. I have my own version here. Ensure that ICANN can meet the requirements of its mission and bylaws by requiring contracted parties to lawfully disclose registration data to accredited third parties. That essentially gives the reason why we will later develop the access model and incorporate it into contracts. Makes it clearly an ICANN purpose that it's meeting our mission and bylaws. We talked about adding a number of frills to it, including the concept of the fact that ICANN has the mission to ensure SSR, among other things, but is not in a position to carry it out itself, and therefore third parties need to be involved. But that didn't seem to need to be in the actual purpose statement.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Mark, option B?
Thanks. Mark Anderson for the transcript. Yeah, I agree with what Alan said. You know, we sort of talked through, okay, what do we need to accomplish with this? And then we put pen to paper. And so what we're trying to do is draft an ICANN purpose tied to mission and bylaws, sort of recognizing Chris's intervention from earlier, which we thought was helpful, and draft, and I guess where we were going is, you know, I think everybody in our group, you know, agreed that this is, you know, I'll use the word placeholder to get us, you know, language that recognizes this as an ICANN purpose and gets us to the phase two discussions where we hammer out the details. And so option B was a work in progress, but where we landed with that was the EPDP recognizes that ICANN org has a purpose in ensuring or enabling, we're discussing that, lawful access to registration data in accordance with its mission and bylaws.
Great. In 1 minute or less, anything anybody from that group wants to add in that was missed before we go to the next option?
Sorry, can I ask a question? Where would you put that? I don't understand where that goes.
Those are two options for purpose two. So
that's not a purpose. That's a recommendation.
I believe this small group was developing a purpose statement. They were supposed to be purpose statements. They may feel like recommendations.
Just like the other.
Option C is our recommendation, not our purpose.
Oh. Yeah, it should change because option A and B were purposes.
Okay. If
A and B.
Yeah.
Just like other recommendations say ensure, coordinate, facilitate, this one is ensure.
Yeah.
Wait, purpose. You
the
mean
same
other
form,
purposes.
Same form as the other purposes.
It's a purpose. I'm just trying to be super clear. These two options, A and B, were constructed as a replacement for purpose two.
The group did not negotiate. They were just talking about different ideas, and we landed with these two different – the group landed with those two different ideas for purpose two.
Gina, yeah. So our intent was, you know, we discussed leaving recommendation two as is, and then what we were working on was new language to replace the existing purpose – or yes, purpose two. So that's where we were headed when – you know, time constrained us.
Thanks.
This is replacement text for purpose two. Replacement text. So what we'd like to do is look at purpose two from the group in here, and I know you also did recommendation two.
Yeah, so let's start with the purpose two on the other group just quickly. No, that's not it.
Can you read it, Emily?
Hang on, everybody. Hang on.
Hang on.
Let's just take a quick pause here and get it up on the screen correctly. So let's just, everybody, quick break. So we're having just a technical difficulty on scroll. Okay. No. That's not it. Yes. Okay, it's option C.
Contributing to the maintenance of?
Yeah. Yeah. So option C is the purpose to new text, okay? So, Emily, did you want to walk us through it just real quick?
So it builds on a lot of the existing language. So the core of the existing language was maintaining the stability, blah, 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 of the DNS. What we added, I think in accordance with ICANN's mission was there in the original text as well, okay? So what we added bits at the beginning and end. So we put it in... We put in contributing to the maintenance of the security, stability, and so on, in accordance with ICANN's mission. And then new text was through enabling responses to lawful data disclosure requests. So that's gone away from the language used in the original, but it's using this concept of responding to requests, lawful requests for data disclosure, rather than predetermining an outcome of what that system or process will eventually be, okay? Yeah. But it's intending to mean the same thing, and in fact, when we come on to talk about our proposals for recommendation two, we explore that and call out the wording in the previous wording in the charter to make that clear.
And if I just might add, or someone else in the group can add, there's two big steps forward here, at least two. One is that it removes the reference to third parties, which was the heart attack kind of situation from the registrars in particular, right? So the reference to third parties is gone, and that's replaced by enabling responses to lawful data disclosure requests. And on the other hand, from Milton's standpoint, it's a step forward from what used to be there because it's speaks specifically to enabling responses to lawful data disclosure requests. So that puts some barriers around what we're talking about, and that created a sense of comfort for folks who are worried about the expansiveness of it, right? So I don't know if anyone in the group wants to comment on that real quickly. Did I capture that correctly? In addition to the first thing, which addressed Cavus's concern that this was somehow superseding the mission, et cetera.
Should we look at the recommendation two language from this group in here since they did it and to inform people's thinking?
Yeah, let's do that. So if we scroll down to what this group did around a recommendation, recommendation two. There we go. Okay, so Emily, do you want to try this again? Sorry, Emily was the scribe and...
this is not... I really hasten to say this is this was a very much a group effort. And I had a laptop, so I typed it up. So basically, our starting point was a copy-paste of recommendation 2. But we wanted to specifically call out the purpose to the links to purpose 2. And then we did some work around what was going to happen next, okay? The bullet points, we added a bullet point at the top. I'm going to come back to the detail, okay?
There we go.
The rest of the bullet points, apart from the top one, are exactly as they were. And we fiddled a bit with the end bit, so I'll go back and describe what we did. So in accordance with the charter and purpose 2, we're undertaking quite a strong word, which we arrived at after a lot of suggestions, to make a recommendation pertaining to a standardized model for lawful disclosure of non-public registration data. And then we call out to the previous way it was referred to in the charter as a standardized access model. Now that the gating questions in the charter have been answered, because this is our final report, and so this is a real clear signal that we believe that we've done the first bit and we're now moving forward into the second bit. And this will include addressing questions such as, and we put in a new question, whether such a system should be adopted. That's a new one. And then our final addition, apart from changing a passive voice to an active voice in the end,
can you scroll down just a tiny
was bit? To say in the end bit, in this context, the EPDP team will consider, amongst other issues, disclosure in the course of intellectual property infringement and DNS abuse cases. That was the wording that was there. And then we added wording that we wrote down from what Ruth had suggested earlier, and that disclosure for legitimate purposes is not incompatible with the purposes for which such data has been collected. We think that wrote down what Ruth said earlier correctly. Yeah. But Ruth, we would appreciate your input on that final, well, on all of it, really, but on whether we were accurate in copying that. Thanks.
Okay, great. I see a hand from Alan, who's had his hand up for a while, and a hand that just went up from Coase. Alan, do you want to weigh in on that? And then Milton. And folks, we're not going to – it's lunchtime, right? So
yeah,
we are just
we're
doing –
we're late for lunch.
We're late for lunch. So we're doing fast pass. Give me your 20-second reaction, and then we can talk about it over lunch for real, like 20 seconds, Alan, if you could.
Thank you. I like the recommendation. I haven't read it thoroughly, but it sounds good. If you can scroll back to the option ABC with C at the top. No, the other option, ABC.
We're going to call it.
Purposes.
There you go.
Purposes.
The
purposes.
No, yeah. The main difference between them, and I have no problem with your version of the wording overall, the main difference between them is you're mentioning SSR. We're making a reference to the bylaw mission and bylaws. The reason we did that is because we were trying to set the stage for the access model, which will look at things other than SSR. So we said putting it in the context of the mission and bylaws essentially said that completely fits.
Okay.
Okay.
And, you know,
right. Good.
It's still limited by the mission and bylaws, but it isn't restricted just to the SSR. So there's a segue directly into the access model work that will follow.
Great. Great point.
And from Chris's point of view, it gives a purpose that applies to the whole access model, not just part of it.
Thanks. Caboose?
Yes. One request and one comment. The request is that distinguished colleagues, please kindly try not to impose a stylistic way of expressing the sentence. If you have a problem of substance, raise the substance. But the style, we don't get to the style because we have no time. Now, the comment that I have in the last but one line saying that is not incompatible. Why would you not say is compatible rather than is not incompatible?
Yeah, okay.
It's compatible.
Talk about that over lunch with those who use that phrase all the time. Milton, you get the last word, and then we're going to lunch.
Yeah, it's just a quick point about the last sentence of
recommendation too that Emily, I wasn't there for that, but if you could bring it up, this whole business about
scroll all the way to the bottom, please.
Legitimate. You've taken Ruth's comment. There you go. Disclosure for legitimate purposes and not incompatible with purposes. I don't know what that's doing there. I mean, why is it connected to a sentence about considering IPR and DNS abuse? Those are completely different concepts. I don't understand why they're stuck together in the same sentence. And
if they were separated into two sentences, would that make more sense for you?
It would, definitely. But right. The context within that statement is being made needs to be clarified. That's like an overarching statement
right.
about that maybe should go at the beginning of this whole thing.
Wonderful. Okay, great, guys. Good feedback. It looks like we're getting somewhere. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take lunch. We're late for lunch. Let's maybe
so
tighten it up a little
lunch.
Bit. Yeah.
If lunch is in the same place in the restaurant where we have breakfast, and what time are we coming back?
What time is it now?
It's a quarter till. An hour?
Take an hour for lunch. We're back here in our seats ready to roll at quarter of.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thanks, everybody,
good?
For that work.
That was fantastic. Thanks, everybody.